Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mpofu, good afternoon to you, sir. Hello, Pastor Mpofu.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. And how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Lovely. Great to have you on the show this afternoon. We're continuing to talk about the church. And, of course, in the New Testament, Christ established the church, as we know. And the apostles were given a place of leadership and authority. But who is running the church today? And what was God's intention for church leadership? That's what we want to uncover today. And so to get us there, Pastor, let's start with the question, who is in charge of the church? I mean, sometimes it's hard to tell. Is it the pastor? Or is it the church board, or is it the conference president, or is it a union president or GC president? Who is in charge of the church? I'm talking about the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
All right. Thank you. Good afternoon, listeners. That's a very beautiful topic and also a question as to who is running the Seventh-day Adventist. Jesus Christ, being the foundation of the church, is the one who runs the Seventh-day Adventists. He's the one who runs the church.
Mm-hmm.
When he was discussing with Peter, he tells Peter that on this rock, I'm going to build my church. It is his appointed agency for the salvation of man. So human beings, we are getting all our instruction straight from the command center, which is from heaven.
So our nerve center is in heaven. That's where the church is run from.
Yes. The ultimate authority of this church comes from is with Jesus Christ. You go to the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 11, you discover that he says that the stone that was rejected by the builders is the one that has become the chief cornerstone, right? So without this stone, the church cannot stand.
It is
further echoed again by Paul in Ephesians 2, verse 19 to 23, whereby he highlights Jesus again as being the stone.
All right. Very, very interesting words there. Now, why is there a need for church leadership then in church? I mean, if God is the one who's running stuff from up there, then why are we having these guys here?
According to Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12, he elaborates that some were given to be TC. The leadership and authority is given to us, right? Because God expects human beings to work for other fellow human beings. And then the same mindset.
Yes, Pastor. I think we are having a challenge. The Pastor, can you hear me? Hello, Pastor. Oh, man. All right. I think we do actually have a problem there. Pastor Mpofu there. We're talking to him about the church. And looks like we've just lost the pastor. Hello, Pastor. Okay. I think I think he's still on the line. I'm not sure what's happening there.
Yes, I'm back on the line.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Thank you so much, Pastor. Now, I'm not sure what happened there. Probably network issues. Please do go ahead. I was asking the question for those who just joined us. I was asking the question is, you earlier said that the church, of course, is run by God. He's the one who is in charge of everything. And I asked, well, if he's in charge then, why are we having a conference president, GC president, and all these guys who are seemingly running the show, but it turns out that actually it's God who's running the show?
All right. Now, as I was responding to this one, we will discover that the structure that is there within the church, it is there because God is cooperating with men in this work
because human beings are to work for their fellow human beings.
Mm.
He could even have appointed angels to take part in this work,
mm-hmm.
but he allowed us to run the show.
Yeah.
Now, all these people in the different structures of the church, from the general conference down to the local church, they all play a vital role in the life of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And their leadership is needed and useful.
Okay. And
yes.
Is it because God doesn't want to run the show directly from heaven? I mean, we had a time before we had King Saul. God was running the show himself, and wasn't it an opportunity to actually do that again?
Right. He was running the show, and at the same time, the reason, even though he was running the show, he was not there physically. He had appointed individuals who were interacting with people on a day-to-day basis, right?
Yeah.
Remember, there was the structure of the priest, right? And the Levites, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So those were in those structures so that they could reach out to the needs of humanity. And then at the end of the day, all the praise and glory will go back to the one who appointed them to those offices.
Mm-hmm.
So even today, we might have the pastors, we might have all the structures. We have to bear in mind that whatever we do, we are only but stewards, and all praise and glory has to be taken back to the one who's got the plan of salvation.
Thank you for that. Now, explain the metaphors used in the scripture in reference to the church. You know, the Bible uses many metaphors referring to the church. Please do explain those and what their meaning is.
Right. There is quite a number of metaphors that the Bible uses in reference to the church. Let me begin with the one of the church being likened to an army. Even the spirit of prophecy is a quotation whereby Ellen White, speaking about young people, he says, with such an army of youth, right? So the church of God here on earth is an army. This we find in Ephesians 6, verse 12, whereby the Bible brings to mind that we are in a battle. We are in a war against spiritual darkness.
Yeah.
We are wrestling not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness and wickedness in heavenly places. So that, with that in mind, Jesus implores for the church to take up the full armor of God, so that we may be able to stand against this enemy of ours, Satan and his army. So throughout the centuries, God's army has been in this battle, and it has been making so much remarkable progress and has obtained victories here and there. And the Church of God is always being seen as triumphant. And even today, amid the calamities that are facing the world, with Jesus as our captain, we are going to win the battle. Another metaphor that is there, we find the church being likened to the groom and the bridegroom, the parable of the 10 virgins.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, in that parable, Jesus himself is the bride, right? And then the believers are the ones who are called to come and commit themselves to this marriage and enjoy the joy that comes with living a life dedicated to Jesus. In this metaphor, we'll discover that the 10 virgins are waiting for the groom. today, 2024, the church is awaiting the imminent return of Jesus, the second coming, right? So those who are members of this church, they are to obey his commandments. They are to sanctify themselves. Revelation 12, verse 14 says, here is the patience of the saints.
Yeah.
Here are those who keep the commandments of God, right? And also the teachings of Jesus. We go back to Matthew 7. He says, it is not all who say, Lord, Lord, that are going to be saved, but those who are going to be found doing what Jesus has been teaching those who have joined themselves with his family. So, inasmuch as they are being taught and are living a lifestyle that is following what Jesus has been teaching, we are also called to be actively involved in awaiting his return. This is through fulfilling the Great Commission of going all over the world. This is through proclaiming the three angels' messages. Not only proclaiming, but also living our lives that are truthful to all that Jesus has taught us in the Bible.
Beautiful.
Another metaphor.
Yes.
Okay. The other metaphor that Jesus likens his church to is that of the body, right? The body has got many organs, many parts. The Church of God today is composed of different people of different kindreds, nations, tongues, etc. And we are also gifted in different ways. Now, we are supposed to work in unity in as much as the body works in unity. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, 27 says, for as the body is one, it has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So by becoming a member of his church, you are now part of this universal body that is awaiting the second coming of Christ Jesus.
Beautiful one. So it's the army, it is the bride, and it is the body.
Yes. And also the family. There's just one too many.
Okay. All right. I get you. So yes. you just decided to just sample just a few.
Yes. Or maybe I can even add this one on of the church being a temple.
Ah, okay.
Yes. The Church of God is God's building, right? When Jesus was about to go back to heaven, he told us that it was important that he goes back, because when he's going to send us the Holy Spirit, right? So the Church of God, being led by the Holy Spirit, it has to strive for holiness as we await the coming of Christ, right? And then Paul gives a teaching that if anyone defiles the temple of God, God is going to destroy them, right?
Yeah.
So this one calls for all of us who are belonging to this church that we are to flee living a lifestyle of the world. Since we've decided to join with God's church, we are now new creatures. This means that our characters have to start following the character of Christ Jesus. Holiness has to be part of our speech. It has to be part of our actions. It has to be part of everything that we are doing, including what we are eating.
Yeah.
And with this holiness, we have to ensure that at any passing minute, the Holy Spirit of God delights living in our bodies. Now, with this delight of him being found living in our bodies, no matter what happens to us, whether we die or we live, we know that should Jesus appear at any minute, we are not going to be ashamed. Why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells upon us. And then if we are to be found dead, the Holy Spirit, when that archangel is going to sound the trump, right, the voice of the archangel, just because I died with the Holy Spirit dwelling in me, I will be assured of the second coming. That is why even the apostle says, when we mourn, we must not mourn as those people who have got no hope.
Yes.
Why? Because as his church, we have got the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And then as long as he dwells within us, we have got that network that is going to connect us. Just like your phone. As long as the SIM card is there, you will miss it. You know, when you ring it, it will connect.
Yeah.
So we need always to pray that the Holy Spirit dwells amongst us, even in our places where we congregate. May our services have the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Let us not follow after the customs and practices of the world, but may we fine-tune everything such that the Holy Spirit is going to delight congregating amongst us.
Beautiful. Powerful stuff. Well, Pastor, very well said. I must say thank you so much for joining us and indeed giving us these examples of what the church is and why is it that there are human beings who are running it, and yet it's also in effect actually run by God himself up in heaven. Thank you so much. We're going to be connecting with you tomorrow, same time and same place.
It's been a blessing. Thank you so much.
Fantastic.
Good day.
Thank you, Pastor. Good day.
From broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.